Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Polished Woman, only on LA Talk Radio.
The Polished Woman.
And now your host, the award-winning Jessica R. Bunovac. Welcome to Jessica and the Polished Woman.
Hey, Max, how are you?
I'm well, Jessica. How are you?
You're not well.
Well,
I'm so sorry about your cousin and your best friend.
Yeah, my best friend. My best friend passed, but you know why I'm well? Because, you know, there's a time to laugh, there's a time to cry, there's a time to live, and there's a time to die. And, you know, she lived her life, and she did it her way.
Yes.
And so, you know, death, we did a show on, you know, on Max and Friends about grief. We're going to do another one here on The Polished Woman.
Yeah.
And it's an interesting process. You know, and it's really, it goes well with today's show about teenagers and depression because, you know, daughters, especially teenagers now, they have so much going on. We all do. We all have so much going on. But, you know, you and I are able to talk about it. You know,
we've
cultivated a skill to talk about our sadness and our depression. And so a lot of daughters haven't. So, you know, we're bringing Dr. Courtney from last weekend because, you know, we have so much to talk about with her book. But Jess, first and
foremost. Her book is so amazing.
It's amazing.
Oh my gosh. I learned so much from it. I really recommend it to all the moms that have teenagers.
Yeah. You know what? Before we get into the show, which is, you know, I like to call it helping your daughters out of depression into a beautiful life.
Oh, that's so good.
It is, right? We're helping them. We're helping them.
Yeah.
But before we help our daughters and our mothers.
Yes.
Happy International Women's Day.
Yes. Happy Women's International Women's Day. Yes, I'm international, right?
Not only, listen, you are international because your show is international.
Yes, you know, oh my gosh.
Jessica and the Polished Woman has won awards all over the, basically, you know, because of the world now with your platform. So Jess, I really want to take a moment just to honor you and to say thank you for your commitment. And thank you for every Monday doing what your passion is. And thank you for living, you know, for being you. You're the best at being Jessica. And it shows every day, you know, there's a shelf of awards behind you. And it's not just because, you know, it's because you show up, you do your work, you're passionate about doing your work, and you trust God in doing your work. So thank you for being a woman that is an example, and not only a polished woman, but a woman that really is an example of to many women who are watching. To inspire, not to be Jessica, but to inspire to be the best self you can be. So thank you, Jessica, for being that.
Oh,
that
thanks. Yeah, you don't want to be Jessica. you want to be you.
That's right.
Right? Oh my gosh. Wait, so we have a special guest. Of course, we're bringing back Dr. Courtney, right? And we also have a special guest today. I've been wanting to have a mom that has teenagers and not just me. But then again, when I found out she was also a stepmom, oh my gosh, that is like a good guess because we have not really, Max, right? We haven't really spoken to a stepmom, right?
You know, we've been doing this, what, 3 years now?
Yeah.
And I honestly can't remember how there's been so many interviews. But you know what? Here's what I know, whether it's a stepmom or whether it's a mom, you know, biological mom, or whether it's a mom that stepped in because the mom is gone. You know, it's like these are all women who are doing the best they can. And I'm just so grateful that they're taking a moment of their life to come here and share their story. So, you know, titles are ridiculous sometimes. You know what I mean? So, at the end of the day, it's really what do your children call you?
You know?
Some call them mom and some call them bitch, you know, so it all depends on, how your children.
People never call me bitch. I'm going to slap their face.
you personally, but you know how many children, all joking aside, and I use the word lightly, but all joking aside, do you know how many children, daughters especially, do not have a relationship with their mother, you know, and who think their mom is a bitch. And I'm sure the mother thinks their daughter is a bitch. And there's such a disconnect.
Yeah.
In the place of sadness and depression, it could be filled with love and joy. So yes. Hopefully today, you know, we're going to have the intentions to teach moms to communicate with their daughters and yes. daughters to communicate with their moms so that mm-hmm. we could raise the vibration in the household and help people, daughters and, you know, and sons and families in general.
Yes.
We hear you. We see you. You matter. Live a better, healthier life. It's going to be a great show, Jess. I'm going back
Thank
to the control
you.
Room. Have fun.
Thank you so much. Well, this is what I've learned from a very beautiful quote from Jane Fonda. The lessons we need to learn circle around us, closing in until we are finally ready to take them in. So that will be my, what do you call that? My tip, yeah, inspirational quote and my advice to the teenagers later on. Take your parents in. Anyway, yes, okay. So as parents, sometimes our first inclination with our children, even our teenagers, is to fix everything for them. This is very me. But sometimes what we truly need to be doing is offering them the support or tools to work through whatever issues they are having on their own. The problem is that knowing what resources are available and how to use them are in things that we instinctively know. As we continue March for Moms, yay! Hashtag March for Moms. Today we're going, it's hashtag March for Moms. Hold on. It's all the moms, our whole, we have a series of, what do you call this? We have a series of shows that is dedicated to all the moms this month of March. So yes, and it means to march on, moms. So today we're going to be discussing some ways that as mothers, we can work through both our own issues and help our teenagers with theirs. So I want to welcome and Dr. Courtney Conley once again on our show. Hello. Yeah. I feel like I want her to be our in-house doctor. Hey, Dr. Courtney, welcome to our show.
Yes, thank you for having me back.
I know. We have to have you back. I read your book. Oh my gosh. I just told Max, your daughter doesn't have to be depressed. Oh, no. Is that the one? Wait, hold on. Yeah. Miserable. Your daughter doesn't have to be miserable. And yes, they don't have to be miserable. And Dr. Courtney, I invited someone today. She's amazing. She's a stepmom to two teenagers. And she also has two biological, you know, children. So yes. Wait, before we start that, can you show our moms the book, the cover of your book?
Yes.
Yes.
You can
Look at
it.
That. Yes. Oh my gosh. Yeah. Your daughter doesn't have to be that. Where can they buy your book, Dr. Courtney?
Anywhere. Amazon, Barnes & Noble. It's out in ebook version. The only thing that we haven't done yet is an Audible. So maybe we'll see.
I know. I haven't. We're in the same boat. I haven't done mine too. So, soon. Okay. Now we have the very beautiful. Hello, Kylie. Kylie, how do you pronounce your last name?
Me?
Yes.
Kylie.
Hi, Kylie.
Hi. Kylie Leahy Mames.
I know. It's so cute. Leahy Mames. So nice. Like you are. Oh my gosh. I have beautiful women on the show. Okay. Yes. Happy International Women's Day, ladies, by the way. Okay. Let's go to our topic right away. Dr. Conley. Okay. I'm excited about this. So thank you so much again for joining us. Okay. I want to jump in right away. If is there any, you know, there's this stereotype about teenagers being difficult to deal with or otherwise disconnected from their families. Where do you think this comes from? And do you think that it's at least a little bit true for all teenagers?
Mm-hmm. I think there's a little bit of truth in it, but I also think it comes from our adult perception, right? And losing a little bit of that teenage lens and what it's like mm-hmm. to be a teenager and empathy and that kind of thing. So I think there's a little bit of truth there. Yeah. For most teenagers, if not all, but I also think it has to do because you know, we forget what it's like, and we get into our adult world, and, you know, we minimize some of the problems that our teenagers have. And so we see them as more difficult because it's harder for us to connect with them.
Yeah, it's very hard. Kylie, as a stepmom, now you can talk to daughter Courtney. As a stepmother, I feel like is it harder to dedicate your life and time to your stepchildren? How is this? And then plus you have, you know, your own biological children.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I do think that being a step parent can be harder than being a mom, because even though we have a really great relationship with the girl's mom, mm-hmm. and we have a great open communication, open dialogue, mm-hmm. we frequently have family discussions, mm-hmm. but it's challenging because they switch houses. It's a week on, a week off. Mm-hmm. So even yes. if you're parenting in alignment, mm-hmm. it's still a different household. So they go from being the only two kids to a house of four.
Yeah.
So sometimes it's challenging because you don't get to be with them all the time.
Yeah. How old are your teenagers?
They're 16. Well, 16 next month.
Wow. Yay. So 16. Wow. Yeah. And they've been with you since they were 4 years old, right?
Yeah. So for 11 years.
Wow. Oh my gosh. You know, and you have the other, what are the other ages of your other children?
So 15, 14, 11, okay. uh-huh. and two.
Oh, wow. Oh my gosh. Like all of a sudden there's like two. That's a big gap.
I think what makes it challenging is that we have a 16-year-old who's learning to drive and then a baby who's being potty trained, do you know?
Yeah.
But sometimes the infantile behaviors can be similar.
Oh, wow.
Right.
I mean, is there like a lot of fighting in the house?
Actually, I had to be outside because I have homeschool going on in the house.
Yeah, yeah.
I have a helicopter. Can you hear it?
Yeah, no, that's fine. That's fine, yeah.
Actually, the oldest and the youngest are the closest. Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's so amazing. I feel like that's like my daughter. My daughter is 32 years old and I have a 17-year-old and they're super close. It's crazy. Okay. So Dr. Courtney, let's start. I read this in your book. Can you let me know the meaning behind the cycle of inauthenticity? Does that mean?
Inauthenticity.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, because our teens are in this stage of development, and I'm not going to geek out too much on you all, but they're in this stage of development, Erickson's fifth stage of development, where they're trying to just figure out who they are, right? They're trying their identity. They're exploring, they're trying different things on and figuring out who they are. And then I see that combined with what is portrayed around them in terms of just social media, things they're exposed to. And so they're using that to kind of compare themselves to what they think they should be, right?
Yes.
And it just kind of goes around and around and around. It's like who I am isn't good enough, right? Because I'm still trying to figure out who I am. Who I am isn't good enough. So let me try to be this. And of course, when we try to be something we're not, we end up miserable, right? You know, when we're trying to please everyone around us and trying to fit into a particular mold and trying to be something we're not, we just end up making ourselves miserable. And then it just kind of keeps going around and around. Okay, well, I don't know who I am. Who I am is wrong, though. I don't know who to be. And then I'm miserable. And it just keeps going until we can find a way to kind of break that for them and help them explore, you know, who you really are and let you know that who you are isn't enough, right? It's perfect. It's who you were meant to be. Okay. And that's part of why you're miserable, because you're going around and around trying to be something else.
So how can you teach them? Like, how can you tell them, hey, you know, the people that you're following on social media, I mean, how can you actually know that? and have that conversation with your, you know, that your child.
Yeah, that I work with.
Okay.
And one of the things that we do is we look at, you know, challenging their negative beliefs. And so I'll quite often ask them, especially, you know, teenage girls who've opened up to me about low self-worth, low self-esteem.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
You know, wanting to look like this, wanting to look like that, thinking I'm not good enough. I'm, you know, for a number of reasons. Mm-hmm. And so I'll often do an exercise, and I have a whiteboard here in my, well, you can't see it, but here in my office, I have a whiteboard, and yeah. I'll just quite often ask them, okay, what is it that you don't like about yourself? And we kind of put that down. And what is it that you think you should look like? And we kind of compare and contrast that. And then I challenge their beliefs about where does this come from, right? Mm-hmm. How do you know that the way you look is wrong?
Yeah.
And the way somebody else looks is right. How do you know being short is wrong?
Wow.
And being tall is right. You know, how do we know that? And when they start peeling that back and really thinking about it, they're like, oh yeah, I guess because I've just internalized what I've seen everywhere. And then we explore that. We explore those thoughts and those feelings and, you know, the fact that you do see, you know, a lot of different things out there, but what you're not seeing are just an average person, right? Everybody's just kind of out there doing their thing. But they're comparing themselves to this one ideal image that society has kind of said, hey, here's the best of the best, right? This is do this, do that, you know?
How about you, Kylie? How do you limit your children in using the social media, and how do you have these conversations with them?
We definitely limit it.
Yeah.
They have a timer set on their phone, so they only get a certain amount a day.
Oh, and that's good.
But during COVID, it's been more challenging because they do school and they have social media on their devices. So it's tough to know when they're doing what.
That's so true. Yeah. You don't know if they're looking on their phone on social media or if they're really like going to school, right? And it's not actually just the social media. It's the YouTube, you know, is it part of social media? Watching YouTube, I was scared of that. But we had this thing, I don't know what my husband is, whatever she presses on YouTube, like we know what she watches. We have that whole thing. I don't know what he did, what app is that, but it's just called parenting, I guess.
Yeah, totally.
And protecting. Yeah, is that a good thing, Dr. Courtney? Is that what do you call that? Like, you know, that the privacy, like, you know, is that invasion of privacy to your teenager?
I don't know necessarily if I would call it an invasion.
Yeah.
Of privacy, because we are trying to protect them a little bit, but I think. Yeah. And, you know, it's a rabbit hole. So you have no idea what they're getting into and what pops up next and, you know, everything else. Even with my little ones that get into their little videos and things like that, it's like you're always like, okay, what's coming up next? So I think there's certainly a level of monitoring that is helpful and we should be doing. But, you know, I just believe in a lot of authenticity when parenting and trying to have those real life conversations with them about things that they're watching, things that their friends are watching, things on TikTok, things, you know, like that, because as much as we want to help, I don't know how I want to put this, as much as we want to help monitor and guide and whatever, I can tell you there's 101 ways around those things. And I can tell you that because my teenagers tell me, you know, they tell me, hey, my mom set this timer on my phone for it to go off at blah, 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 but you can do this and that and this and that. And then it comes back on or whatever. So there's anything we set up, right? Our kiddos are pretty ingenious. And so there's going to be a way around it. Somebody's going to come up with a way around it. So again, I think it's great to have your finger on that pulse of what they're doing, but then also just those authentic conversations about what's out there, what it all means, you know, is it making you feel good or not? Like when you look at this, do you walk away feeling better from yourself? And if not, do we need to consider what you're putting in your mind as much as we do what you're eating and putting in your body?
Yeah, that's so true. So, I mean, I'm sure Kylie wants to know about this. Kylie, do you have any question for Dr. Courtney?
I loved reading your
I know, right?
Yeah. And a lot of it is, I loved it just because I feel I have the same perspective in a lot of ways. Mm-hmm. But then I also, light bulbs went off too while I was reading it. And just
what were some of them? Can you like share with us?
One of them was the Theodore Roosevelt quote that you said, nobody cares how much you know until they know how much you care. And I think a struggle for me, being a stepmom sometimes, is to fully come from love. And, you know, because I'm aware I'm not their mom. They have a mom. I don't want to replace their mom. But to be as open and loving as I am with my kids to them can sometimes be harder for me. And I realized, you know, I was reading that and, you know, I believe I'm the spiritual pillar of our family. I'm the son, because however I am, you see it reflected in them.
Yes.
And so I just want to remind myself that that's the most important thing, to come from love and openness and listening. Listening sometimes is my thing, because, you know, I thought about this a lot too, because every parent says, oh, back in my day, you didn't have it like this. So every parent must believe they spoil their kids.
Yeah.
Or something. I don't know. Because my dad said that to me. I hear myself saying that.
Yeah.
And I don't like when I say that.
I do not say, I say the same thing. I was like, well, during my time, I never did that, you know, right? We compare our times, you know, with their time, but it's not the same, right? I mean, Dr. Courtney, what can you say about that? That's so true.
Yeah, and that's part of why I open up my book with that, right?
Yeah. Like
with the stage that our teenagers are in, and how we kind of lose sight of that because we get so immersed in our adult problems, which is normal too, right? I mean, we're human beings. We're all just human beings trying to do the best we can. So we get immersed in bills and this and that, and we think, oh, we have it so hard, but here you are complaining about your phone getting shut off at midnight or whatever, you know? And so we lose sight of that developmental state that they're in, and we start comparing and contrasting and determining in our mind that we have it worse than they do, so they shouldn't be complaining. Yeah. And so we lose sight of that empathy and really realizing where they are and the fact that they're exactly where they should be and we're exactly where we should be. We're just in two different spaces. So to try to compare them isn't really fair, you know? We have that empathy advantage, as if we can take a deep breath and take the time to remember that, especially when they're pushing our buttons, you know. And you said last week, Jessica, that they're the ones that create the buttons, right?
Yes.
So if we can remember that, we have that empathy advantage, because I've actually been at one point or another where they are, right? They've never been where we are. And that's cool. Take your time, grow up slow, do your thing, be a teenager, and then you'll get there and you can do all this stuff to your kid, you know? But taking that deep breath and remembering that's critical.
But then again, doctor, you said about the whole empathy thing, that you have to, you know, to show your child empathy. Sometimes, but do you overgive empathy and feel like sometimes you're being abused already? Like, you know what I mean? Not being abused. What is that term? You know, like
manipulated, maybe.
Yeah, manipulated, sort of, right?
Yeah.
And sorry, because English is my first language. So, I mean, what is right? I forget words. So, is it? I sometimes feel that, especially with my teenager, because I was never like, you know, I was a little bit stricter. I'm more strict on my first and second, but with her, I feel like, shoot, I'm so nice. Like, it can't be like this, you know? Yeah.
I definitely think our kids can certainly try to manipulate us, right? Because sometimes their end goal is to get what they want, and you know, they're going to do what, you know, they need to do that. But I don't know if I necessarily connect it with like the whole empathy and validation piece that we talked about last week, because I think it depends how far you let it go and in what direction, because.
Okay. So you have to have boundaries. A little bit.
Yeah, I mean, of course you have boundaries. And even
how
though
we create
be
that
empathetic, you know, I'm not going to just let you behave however you want to behave. Like, there's still a piece of parenting there, but I'm just trying to understand where you're coming from, right? And at least say, okay, I get your feelings, but then be able to also say, however, this isn't appropriate, right? We need to handle this differently or whatever the case might be.
Yeah. My gosh, that's so true. I mean, with you, Kylie, have you ever experienced that? Especially, it's harder for you because you have these two girls, you know, your stepkids, and then for the other one. Don't you feel like, oh my gosh, I'm giving more on my real one? Because that happened to me. I have my husband adopted my two children. And I still see it. I see the difference, but I know it's all, you know, it's equal and everything, but somehow this one has a little bit more, you know, advantage or some sort of.
Yeah. And even my husband and I were joking about it yesterday because somehow the two-year-old has snuck his way into me just letting him get away with so much that I did not let no one's get away with.
Yeah.
And even for my 11-year-old, I'm much stricter on him than I am the little one.
Yeah.
But yes, I do feel that that can happen sometimes. But I also, one thing that I really would love to ask you about, Courtney, is the boundaries. And when I'm setting up chores and everyone has a specific chore that they need to do, and then when they don't want to do it or not at that time, and I don't allow that, then it kind of sometimes goes into a debate about they don't feel heard or they don't feel like they're able to
express
their opinion. And my husband and I say, well, your opinion about your chores doesn't really matter right now. I know you don't like it, but you still have to do it. So I don't know, like a constructive way to deal with that situation.
How do you answer? I mean, what do you do?
Well, I can tell you this is a very real battle that I fight in my house too. So, so there is no one like magic bullet answer to any of this stuff, right?
Yeah.
But I think a couple of things you could do, Kylie. One, you know, is to kind of validate, you know, I understand that chores aren't the most fun, but you helping around out around the house is really appreciated. And I try to kind of put it that way so that I'm putting a positive spin on it a bit or letting them know that I appreciate it. And the other thing that I don't know if it'll help you in that direct moment when you're doing the chore battle, but in general, it helps kind of reshape your house over time. I try to infuse a lot of positivity into what I'm doing. And I learned this in the school system because they have a something called PBIS that they do where we are looking for the behaviors we want to see kids displaying. And then we praise them for that. And what it does is it decreases, we're focusing on the positive and it decreases what we don't want to see. And so I do that a lot in my parenting. My two kids can love each other to death. And then all of a sudden the next day, it's like, they're just all day long at each other and I can't take it.
Yeah.
So I will really focus in on praising them when they're getting along, when they're playing together, when they're sharing, when, you know, doing those kinds of things that I really like them to do, or when they'll ask me for something in a really nice, polite way, I'll say, oh, I love the manners, you know? And if they don't, then I come back with, excuse me, see if they can reshape their, you know, so just trying to put that positive spin on it. And it's so true because with that, the idea of the positive psychology piece, we see what we look for, right? So if we're only looking for opportunities to correct our kids, that's what we're going to see. If we're looking for opportunities to praise them, that's what we're going to see more of. And that's not to say that you still aren't going to parent your kids. Like, I don't, you know, you have to parent your kids when they're not doing what they need to do, whatever, you know, we need to correct them. But it just shows that you are as equally invested in praising them than, you know, just correct, you know, as you are correcting them when they need to be corrected. And it really puts a different spin on everything. It makes people feel appreciated. I mean, it feels so much better to say, I'm proud of you for X, Y, and Z than I'm disappointed because X, Y, and Z.
Wow. That's
absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah. Kylie, are you sometimes obliged or not really, or how do I say this? Like in a position where you feel like you need to do everything? Because that's, you know, that's us moms, right?
Yes.
Have you ever felt that? Like, oh my gosh, like who's going to help me? Like, have you ever spoken to your husband and ask help from him? Or is it just you, what do you call that? Is it just you dealing with, you know, your stepchildren? Or is it more your husband?
I feel it's pretty equal.
Okay.
Yeah, it's pretty equal.
Okay.
On that front.
Okay, and that's good.
Yeah, I mean, outside of once COVID kicked in, you know, and the household chores and the cooking and cleaning, that was a lot more of my responsibility than shared. But we've definitely improved. But I was very burned out. And reading that part of your book was about self-care.
Yeah.
Was reassuring too, because I was 50 weeks straight with homeschool, no day really.
That is so hard. Yeah.
And I finally took a time away, 4 days away, and I ended up really needed it. And since I've been back, it's
oh my gosh. Wow, that's so good. I'm so proud of you that you did that.
Yes. Yeah.
But we forget.
That's a tough thing for moms.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then we do, and we're functioning from a place of burnout, and a part of us feels a little killed off because we're not pursuing our hopes and dreams. And then rage becomes my number one emotion. And when I see that, I know it's time for me to do some self-care.
Oh my gosh, good for you that you did that, because you need that. I mean, four children, I only have one that I'm like taking care. I'm already like exhausted. Four children, that is really tough. I mean, Dr. Colley, I mean, how do you know? Now let's go to the, you know, the whole anxiety and depression. Mm-hmm. How do you know if, you know, what are the level of, is there any level of depression? And when do you know that it's time for them to seek help? You know, yeah, I'm sure Kylie wants to know about this as well, because it's hard. You don't really know.
Yeah. It's so there's obviously, you know, varying levels of depression, anxiety, all of that kind of stuff. And I know we use it a lot just in our language, right? Like, oh, I'm feeling depressed today or whatever. So there's a difference between the way we just kind of toss it around in everyday language versus something that would be clinically significant.
Yeah.
And I think, and there can be overlap, right? Especially because, you know, our teenagers, they have good days, they have bad days. You know, the moodiness and the difficulty regulating emotions. I kind of laughed in my head, Kylie, when you said the two-year-old and the oldest one are kind of the same, you know, because it really is hard, right? It's hard for little kids to regulate their emotions, and it's hard for teenagers too. So I kind of laughed in my head when you said that. So, you know, knowing what's outside the norm for your kiddo is always your best, you know, bet. And, but if it is impacting them, then I would say I would err on the side of caution and take it more seriously than not, right? I don't think there's going to be harm that comes from it if you talk to your kid and you're like, you know, I'm worried. You're sleeping more than usual. You don't seem connected to your friends, or your appetite is less, or your appetite is more. You seem to be really frustrated all the time. Your grades have gone down. I think that, you know, talking to your kid about that and saying, hey, would it help if I talk to your school counselor, or if I found you someone to talk to, or is there a way I can help you? I think, you know, I don't think anything bad can come of that, right? So in a certain respect, I guess I would say I'd rather see folks take it more seriously than think, oh, this is just a teen phase.
Yeah.
And kind of don't do anything with it, right?
Mm-hmm. How do you, Kylie, are your teenagers already like dating? Are they like in a relationship? You know, because that's the stage, 16. Do you allow, I mean, that's the stage where they start dating, right? Or have crushes. It's a very interesting stage.
Yeah, no, neither of them. And in one way, they're very studious, and they love to get great grades, and they're very focused on that. And my oldest one is a ruler, and she's super focused on getting any dating. However, I have noticed a change in some tank top wearing when she goes to sit outside at her friends. That's a little bit new. Like trying to look cuter, that's starting to shift. So I am noticing that. But they haven't really been able to do much because of the restrictions. But
yeah. What do you do? I mean, what did you do when you, you know, started noticing that she's, you know, wearing cute tops and stuff? Oh my gosh, I remember that my daughter started.
Well, no, my husband said, you're not wearing that. I was like, oh my God, for those people now.
But I'm sure you're like, you're their go, you know, the go-to person, right? Because I'm sure that they would be like, if it's about boys, they would go to you, right? They would be.
Yeah, I mean, it just is so interesting because they are very private. The middle one has had a few crushes,
yeah,
but then nothing has come of it really. So, I mean, it's interesting. And I find out a lot of that stuff through Simon, my 11-year-old too.
Yeah, I met Simon. Yeah. So he's the one that tells you. That is so, that is so cute. But what do you think about that, doctor? I mean, being silent, is that a good, is that a good sign? Or,
well, I think especially when it comes to relationships, right? Yeah. With boys or crushes or with anybody, right? When we're talking about our feelings for other folks, I think especially when it's new,
okay,
it opens them up to vulnerability. So when they're talking about their feelings and people that, you know, they might be interested in, it's so new and different for them that I think sometimes that vulnerability kind of keeps it a little bit more hush hush. But I am glad that you asked about that, because that is one area that I do worry about our teens with too. Because I mean, Kylie, that's fantastic if they're like, hey, I'm focused and I don't need, you know, to worry about this person over here. But really, that is one thing that I see a lot of with our teenagers who are trying to find their way or don't really have a high opinion of themselves, because then they're looking for that worth in other people. Yeah. And that's just a bit scary to me, because, you know, that opens you up to being taken advantage of and to always, you know, feeling like you need to do this or do that to have that attention from another person, right? Yeah. Rather than with finding.
I've noticed they can sometimes put on other behaviors of their friends. I've noticed that they're timing or that they're on Zooms a lot with.
Yeah.
And I'm noticing, oh, wow, that's a different mannerism that seems learned. And maybe that's just normal human behavior, and they're trying to figure themselves out. I don't know if that's a worrisome thing.
Yeah.
But, you know, they are wanting to sleep more, staying longer.
Yes.
And, you know, it seems to be a common thread between a lot of moms that I talk to, their teenagers.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm hoping once sports and school and everything starts to pick back up, that will go away. But I don't want it to do permanent damage.
Or, oh, I like that. You know? That's a good topic.
Not if it.
Yeah. How can, yeah, I mean, why are you getting emotional, Kylie?
Me?
Yeah.
Am I?
Yeah. Oh, a little bit. I'm sorry. Are you worried somehow?
I don't think so, but I just want to be doing the best that I can do for them. As I think because I really want to create a place where they feel open enough to talk, because that used to be the dinner table, but the two-year-old just kind of destroys dinner time peace. And I've thought about doing this thing, which I know they'll all laugh and make fun of me for, but I started a playlist and an idea to do Reset Sundays, where we all get yoga, breathing, and maybe a meditation, and then talk about something we're grateful for or what we're looking forward to.
Yeah.
So it could open up a dialogue. And I know they'll think I'm crazy because I always try to do these things.
Yeah. No, that's actually very good.
But I thought, I don't know, because I'm feeling a little disconnected
lately. See, and that's the piece where I think it's so powerful to just be vulnerable and say, I feel disconnected. I know dinner's been tough lately and whatever. So I would love to try this thing. I can't remember what you called it, but it was, I'm in, I'll do it with you. So, you know, to say, I want to reconnect. How can we, you know, I would like to try this. Are you guys on board?
I love that. I love that whole Reset Sundays.
Yes.
Hashtag Reset Sundays. Yeah, because Mondays are all, so it's always like a new week. And so Sunday is like, my gosh, I mean, I feel you. Thank you so much, Kylie, for being so open and, you know, being vulnerable and being so honest. Because it's so, right, Dr. Courtney, it's so hard for us moms. You know, I mean, I know a lot of moms, and whenever we have the show and I invite moms, it's so hard for them to get out there and be open about how they feel about their, you know, how many moms have, you know, have like, no, I feel like I don't want to talk about it. Oh, no, but yeah. And thank you. So, and they tell us, no, it's thank you so much.
Well, thank I realized you. Early on about myself that I was having a lot of control issues with my kids and mostly Simon and how he behaved around Andrew's family, my husband's family. He seemed to always throw tantrums then. And I had to check myself because I realized it was more about me than his behavior, because I thought his family was judging my parenting through his behavior. And every two-year-old and three-year-old acts crazy at times. And so it's, you know, they're there to help. Mm-hmm. And when you're a new mom, you sometimes feel nervous or you feel like everyone else has it figured out. Mm-hmm. And you don't want to admit that you don't.
Yeah. Wow. Aww.
And so I learned that, and then asking for help, because that can be hard too. It's in line with the self-care, right? It's hard for me to ask for help.
Yes, absolutely. Oh my gosh. Do you have, Kylie, do you have any other question for the, oh my gosh, I can't believe we're like done. Do you have any other question for Dr. Courtney?
No, well, actually, I would love to talk with you again.
Absolutely.
No, if you
do. We'll get you in touch together. Yeah. I'll make an email. An email together. And
I didn't know if you do programs with teens and stuff, but I can find that information out probably through your site.
Yes, definitely. Go to my website. I do some parent coaching and then some teen coaching, and I'd love to connect and keep the conversation going.
Do you do a group teen coaching, Dr.?
Yes.
Oh, that's so good. Yes. Can you tell us your website, Dr. Courtney?
Yeah. So it's courtney-conley.com.
Okay. We should put that on my, on our, Kylie, quick question. Hold on. I know it has nothing to do with motherhood, but who made Kylie stop?
That's so funny. I actually got it on Abbott Kinney at this store called Principessa.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So I know that. It's in Venice. Is it in Venice?
Yeah, on Abbott Kinney.
Oh my gosh, you have to go shopping together.
Okay.
Twitter question for you, Doctor. What does the title of your book actually mean? How can we help our depressed daughters? I think you answered that already, right?
Well, I mean, it's just a way basically to support them, right? And it's basically starts with building that connection, right? Looking at the empathy piece and what they're actually going through. Mm-hmm. And then a lot of times moms are like, okay, but when we get into like the self-care piece and working on themselves, they're like, okay, but tell me what I need to do to fix my kid. And they don't realize how it starts within, right? Yeah. And Kylie, you were saying something about being the spiritual pillar, and how you are reflects on them and things like that. And so really doing that self-care piece and looking at what we're thinking, how we're feeling, and how we could be responding better to our kids or in a different way to our kids is really powerful. And then connecting with them after you've done that work for yourself, then you're the best teacher for them, right? To lead them through that process and to help them see some of these pieces that will, one, help them connect with you so that you can better go on that journey with them, because you're not going to be able to do it all, fix it all. We want to, but we can't. Yeah. So just being there to support them. And that's really why I call it an approach to supporting your teenage daughter, because it's one way to walk with them on this journey and to be sure that you yourself are prepared to go on this journey. Because handling a temper tantrum like we talked about, yeah, it's awful, but what does it last, 10 minutes? Handling those teenage years, you need sustained support there.
Yes. Oh my gosh.
Hopefully that answers that question.
Courtney, wait, Kylie, thank you so, so much. Oh my gosh. Thank you so much. I really appreciate your honesty, and I hope, you know, to have you back again on our show. Oh my God.
I'd love to. Thank you for having me.
And I'll put you in touch with Dr. Courtney, and then I think you should do the group teens. I think that will be so helpful. Yeah, I'm going to do it too. If you do it, we'll all do it with my teenager. Thank you so much, Kylie. Dr. Courtney, stay with us. One more question. Bye, Kylie. One more question, Courtney. Dr. Courtney, is there such thing as I'm already late entering into my daughter's life?
I think only if you give up.
No, that's good.
I think only if you give up. You know, it's, and again, I know I'm probably sounding like a broken record a bit with the authenticity, but I think it just goes back to the authenticity and willingness to be vulnerable. Okay. You know, like Kylie said, I don't feel connected or whatever. And then trying to figure out what it is that we need to do to get that on a better track.
Okay.
You know, and a lot of times, again, there is no perfect answer. Yeah. And a lot of times we're doing the best that we can with what we know how. And I think it's just that willingness to ask for help and to figure out what to do. And also just letting the other person know, like, I know this isn't good, and let's try to figure out how to make it better, because I love you, I care about you, and that's what I want.
Wow. Thank you so much. Moms, how many of you have given up? Please don't give up. Just like life, don't give up on life. There is always hope for our children. And you know what? Let enter into your children's life. You know, be slowly, even if I raised my daughter alone, Dr. Courtney, it was hard, but then, you know, just slowly and just be open. Start a good relationship with them now and just be honest and have a good conversation. Thank you so much, Dr. Courtney. Thank you. I appreciate you.
Thank you.
How can they find you again?
Courtney-Conley.com is my website, and that's the best place to get in touch.
Okay, perfect. Thank you so much. Thank you.
Thank you.
I hope to see you again if there's teens. Bye, Dr.
Thank
Courtney.
You.
Thank you so much. Okay, for all of you, I mean, I know we've talked about the moms, but please have your children. This is a tip for our teenagers. Teens, children, daughters, or sons, open your heart to your parents, to your mom. Let them into your life. Talk to them and just be open to them. Okay, for mom, make sure that in addition to talking to your children, that take some time for yourself today. And when you feel like you're burnt out, just like what Kylie did, you know what? Sleep. Go for a walk and sleep. If you need to sleep 24 hours, sleep 24 hours. Let your husband deal with it. Self-care. Thank you so much. And don't forget to give love to the next person that you see after watching and listening to our show. Thank you. I'm your host, Jessica R. Budavash, for the Polish Woman Show. Thank you. Thank you.
through fear.